coming up this month as well.
Disqualified Mulligan.
Yeah, disqualified Mulligan.
When do you go to arraignment on those? You have one littering for throwing a banana peel in a planter, actually near here, and then you have you have one ticket there, right?
Yeah, that's one ticket, and the other one happened earlier than that, a couple days before that, actually, and that was for riding a bicycle on the sidewalk.
Now, these are pretty serious criminal offenses. Have you considered, you know, rehabilitation, maybe lobotomy, chemical castration?
Well, make sure I throw everything in the garbage and maybe get an SUV instead of a bicycle.
There you are. You got to join the society and, you know, get with the program.
And I have those both on the same day.
What day is that?
I'm not exactly sure. It's this month. I think it's 26.
Okay, you're going to call me up and leave me the date and time when you get there. We're talking with...
What is this Puck Bush, Puck Bomb shit? Whose car are you sitting on?
Oh, okay. Well, we're talking with...
What'd you do to your beard,
Robert? It's the same old thing.
Oh, well, just a little shorter than
it's
usual.
A little shorter, yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good.
What's going on? The ACLU meets in an adjacent room, and they're talking about, I guess, the Patriot Act, fascism in America. But don't worry about what the police are doing in Santa Cruz. That's always been the motto of our local ACLU, and it's really been unfortunate. But maybe we can change that. Maybe some Huff members will be there urging the ACLU to get off its rapidly growing butt. And the ACLU's gotten a big shot in the arm from all the Patriot Act stuff. Their membership has been growing rapidly in the last 2 years. Unfortunately, they're us being Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, with a list of Civil Rights Act violations and concerns. We've already presented it to them verbally, and we've sent them a letter asking them to consider categorical opposition to and legal support in challenging the sleeping ban and the downtown ordinances, not to mention the blanket ban and the camping ban, all of which, of course, are not just slaps in the face of homeless people, but actually endanger their ability to survive. Look outside you. It's wet and rainy out there. You have to be dodging the police, too. No way. Thank you very much. So, again, ACLU at 7... and Green Party at 6 in the Loudon Nelson Center tomorrow. City Council meets on Tuesday. Boy, I don't know if I'm going to have any time to get into that, but I will give it a try. Let's see if I can dig it up here. I will do so even as I speak to you. If you want to call in, by the way, you can still catch the... the phone lines are open. 427-3772 is the number to call. I'm zipping into the official website of the www.ci.santa-cruz.ca.us, Santa Cruz City Council. Go to the Google site, and it'll send you there. And you can find the agenda for the next City Council meeting, which is, says the 28th and the 31st. My goodness. I think there is. It's supposed to be a second Tuesday in November. Let's see. Today is... I guess it's not coming up. My goodness, it's not coming up this Tuesday. That's right. It's there was extra time in October, I guess. No city council meeting. At least it's not here on the web, so I can spare you all that for the moment. Let's go back and see what else we have to fill the remaining 6 minutes with. There's actually a lot of stuff that I wanted to talk about. We had some UCSC members come to the last Huff meeting, including Steve Weiss of Huff Santa Cruz, a group at UCSC that started expressing its concerns and organizing around homeless issues on campus a couple years ago. They're back, and that may bear some fruit. We had a report from Thomas Levitt on the neighborhood, I think it's a Downtown Neighbors or Neighborhood Watch. I'm not sure what the name of the group was. But apparently Officer Jim Howes, who's sort of notorious in some circles as sort of the political agent of the police department, he went after Bob LaMonica. You heard him on the fellow you heard on the phone earlier from De Anza, for circulating rent control petitions in the farmer's market at a table at a forbidden spot, and Bob said, I'll break down my table, but I'll be back in a week. And he was able to, essentially, through his courage and through his willingness to stand up in the situation, house back down and stop going after him. You often find people who want to violate your constitutional rights are you relying on bullying and bluff, or often they're acting out of ignorance, or even with our good intentions. I don't think Howes has bad intentions. I think, however, that as a police officer, he has a different agenda and a different set of standards. So he apparently was giving a speech to the Downtown Neighbors group about the nasty campers on the west side, and he was telling people that you can't get rid of campers, they're always going to be there. But on the other hand, he warned that there may be child murderers in vehicles. So it's always good to call the police, or it's often good to call the police. And some rather nasty stereotypes were batted around there for, raising the climate and the heat on a population that is really largely innocent of any criminal taint, per se. I think it's just hogwash to tar homeless people with a criminal brush, although they're all made into criminals by things like the sleeping ban. Anyway, Huffman decided they wanted to meet with Officer Howes and talk to him. I left him a message. Howes is out of town for a week, so we won't know until next week what his deal is. I want to remind you, the Street Performers Union meets at the Union Street Cafe or Java House, 7 p.m. on Wednesday. And I had thought that there was oral communications at City Council. See, today is the... this is the second Tuesday, is it not? Let's see. Today is the 9th, 10th, 11th. Yeah, this is the second Tuesday. I think City Council is meeting, and they failed to put it on the agenda on the website. I'm going to take a second look at that website. We got an incoming call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert, I just wanted to remind you that Tuesday is Veterans Day, and I think everything will be closed down.
Oh, that could be it.
Yeah, let's celebrate our veterans. You know, there's going to be a candlelight vigil Tuesday, November 11th.
That's correct. At 4:30 at the town clock, it's U.S. out of Iraq, and let's save our veterans. Isn't that what it's going to be about?
That's what it's about.
Hey.
Okay, just thought I'd help you out there.
Hey, I appreciate the help.
You're welcome.
In the studio or out of the studio, you're always welcome.
I'm always listening.
All right.
Bye, Robert.
Bye-bye. So I guess that's the reason. Nothing on Veterans Day except hopefully some support finally for the veterans. And I never heard the outcome of the veterans' struggle around the issue of the radio in the veterans' building. If anybody knows the outcome of that, there was some concern they were going to be evicted from there. This old, for a long time they'd run an emergency radio room out of there, and now they're being told they couldn't do so, that it was going to be turned over to a masseuse or something. And they were tabling in front of the veterans' hall talking about that. I don't have the latest update on that. Perhaps I can give you more information on Thursday. A good website for those who are following the whole issue of forced drugging and the evil effects generally of psychotropic drugs and alternatives that people with psychiatric disabilities have can be found on the website of Lauren R. Mosher, M-O-S-H-E-R-M-D, former chief of the Center for Studies of Schizophrenia of the National Institute of Mental Health. This is an establishment guy who set up an alternate project called Soteria, where they didn't emphasize drugs. I mean, they were available, but they weren't the main thing. And they showed that the people recovered just as well, if not better, without drugs, essentially waiting things out, using other kinds of support. And he wrote an article, "Are Psychiatrists Betraying Their Patients?" The website for that, it's a long thing. The best thing to do is to go to a Google website and Google and search for Lauren R. Mosher, M-O-S-H-E-R-M-D, and you can get a lot of interesting stuff. Or you can email Huff. By the way, if you want to get on the Huff mailing list, or I should say emailing list, send a call to rnorse2, one word, small letters, 2, number 2, at hotmail.com, and I'll put you on the website. That will be that. All kinds of stuff happening as the U.S. stages stately and staged funerals, new deaths, new helicopter shootdowns in Iraq. Here's a quick story from the, looks like the Sunday Observer Guardian in London. U.S. turns wrath on resistance fighters. U.S. troops yesterday unleashed their most furious attack in Iraq since the official end of the war. The attacks, which happened in Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit, were carried out in response to the killing of six soldiers whose Black Hawk helicopter was shot down near the town on Friday. As F-16 jets dropped 500-pound bombs on the area where the helicopter was shot down, U.S. troops launched a massive sweep operation designed as a show of force against resistance fighters based in the Sunni Triangle, which saw the arrest of several dozen alleged fighters and the death of five more. Last night, a loud explosion echoed across Baghdad. This is two nights ago. The sound came from the west bank of the Tigris River, where the coalition has its headquarters. It follows mortar attacks on the complex earlier in the week. The U.S. assault follows a sharp escalation in attacks by the Iraq guerrillas on U.S. targets, which have claimed 34 American lives in the first 7 days of November, equivalent to the total fatalities in all of October. But any hope that the sweep named Operation Ivy Cyclone would steady nerves in Iraq was almost immediately demolished by the news that the International Committee of the Red Cross was taking the drastic step of closing its offices in Baghdad and Basra because of the rapidly worsening security situation. The organization had already announced it was reducing the number of its international staff after the bombing of its HQ in Baghdad on the 27th of October, in which 12 people died. The decision to close its offices in Baghdad and Basra is a blow to an organization that prides itself on being able to continue working in the worst of conflict situations. Despite the U.S. military operation, however, lethal attacks on U.S. forces continued yesterday, with two U.S. paratroopers killed in the Sunni Triangle town of Fallujah, where a roadside bomb exploded under their vehicle. Amid suspicions that the bombing raids were designed as much for domestic U.S. consumption, that's the bombing raids by U.S. against Iraqis, as out of operational necessity, a coalition spokesman announced it also captured 12 people suspected of involvement in a deadly attack on a Baghdad hotel where U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz was staying. Military officers said the operation involved raids on several locations. I believe they've broken up a cell of former regime figures, which included a financier, a supplier, and operatives. An official U.S. Army review leaked to the U.S. NGO has revealed that the Army had no plan for the occupation of Baghdad. Officially titled the 3rd Infantry Division Mechanized After-Action Report, Operation Iraqi Freedom, the study provides the first formal interview view of the Iraq War from the point of view of the soldiers who brought down Saddam Hussein. The report provides official confirmation of a complete absence of high-level military and political planning to manage the aftermath of victory, indicates some key problems that continue to hamper U.S. Army effectiveness to this day. Some of the lack of planning first became apparent at Baghdad International Airport. Multiple military and interagency organizations vied to set up operations at the airport, but the 3rd Infantry Brigade combat team controlling the airport was too engaged in continuing combat operations to coordinate this adequately. The report continues, the 3rd Infantry Division itself, which had been engaged in some of the heaviest fighting on the outskirts of Baghdad, lacked guidance on how to deal with different competing Iraqis they encountered. Ongoing struggles for power, establishing security without the benefit of a functioning police system, and reestablishing a pay system for government workers continue to plague the restoration of normalcy to Baghdad, it said. The report comes amid mounting criticism of the way the Bush administration has handled the aftermath of the U.S. invasion. And then here's a story, Americans Sow Seeds of Hatred. Patrick Graham from Fallujah reports that he met many angry Iraqi tribes who say they, not Saddam's forces, are shooting down U.S. helicopters. Sarab rolls up her sleeve and looks at the thick scar across her upper arm. The 8-year-old says she was playing in the bathroom of her house when the shots were fired but cannot remember anything else. It is their routine, said her grandfather, Turk Hasim. After the Americans are attacked, they shoot everywhere. This is inhuman, a stupid act by a country always talking about human rights. Last September, U.S. forces shot dead Sarab's 2-year-old sister, Dunya, and wounded two other girls in her family, 13-year-old Manal and 16-year-old Basad. The family belongs to the Albuisi tribe, who farmed the rich land along the Euphrates River south of Fallujah. The Albuisi fought against the British, and even Saddam Hussein found them difficult to control. Since April, at least 10 members of the tribe have been killed by U.S. forces, including 5 policemen. While the U.S. authorities maintain that resistance attacks are carried out by former Ba'athists and supporters of Saddam, they continue to ignore the tribal nature of the insurgency, which has grown steadily over recent months. Deeply conservative clans like the 50,000-strong Albuisi have codes of honor, which they complain the American army ignores at checkpoints and during raids on houses. They also believe that the Quran demands jihad against foreign invaders. Asked how many American lives should be taken if one of their own is killed, the answer is, as many as possible. Last week, an American Chinook helicopter was shot down by a heat-seeking missile a few kilometers from Sarab's house, killing 16 soldiers. It could have been worse, the neighbors said. Resistance fighters were ready to fire another missile at a second Chinook when they were stopped by worried locals. After the clash, others in the area came out with rocket-propelled grenade launchers and Kalashnikovs, but they too were dissuaded for fear of retaliation, and with good reason. After Friday's downing of a Black Hawk helicopter near Tikrit, U.S. troops dropped 2 500-pound bombs and fired tank rounds at the area of the crash in a show of force. According to Albuisi resistance supporters, the attack on the Chinook was carried out by members of the tribe, as was a second attack later in the week on a military train. One of the freight containers from the train lies behind Sarab's house, its lettering partially effaced by handfuls of mud. If the Americans came as normal citizens, we'd welcome them, Sim Khalid, an Albuisi with ties to the resistance. When they came for liberation, I sent them food. Now I just want to kill them. If I didn't have children, I'd join tomorrow. As a teenager, Khalid won local fame for avenging his brother's death, a notoriously good shot. He's now, he says, thinking of dusting off his Kalashnikov. What are we supposed to do? Oh, the poor American soldiers died. When they kill people here every day, I expected more than just a Chinook to be shot down. Like everybody in the area, he believes far more soldiers died in the crash than the authorities admit. According to Khalid, the tactics and aims of the resistance in the Fallujah area are different from those in Baghdad. In the countryside, foreign fighters and Saddam supporters play a far smaller role than tribal relationships and traditional codes. The Albuisi have hot blood and will do anything without caring about the results. If something happens to one of them, they will get together and take revenge. More helicopters will go down, definitely. According to Khalid, last month, a Russian-made SAM-7 Strela anti-aircraft missile, like the one used against the Chinook, could be purchased for $325, mostly from tribes in southern Iraq who collected thousands following the fall of Saddam. He had heard that a new, more compact missile was on the market, but did not know the name or the price. The U.S. troops pulled out of the Chinook crash site at the end of last week, leaving behind piles of Tootsie Roll wrappers and plastic containers for Menu 19 beef with mushroom. Nearby, women in bright dresses and scarves wrapped round their faces weeded potato and wheat fields. Yassim Hashim smiled broadly as he wheeled by on his bike past bulldozed farmland where U.S. troops had scooped up even the soil next to an irrigation ditch. It was like Eid because it was the best celebration, he said, referring to the festival that ends this month's fasting of Ramadan. I saw the missile come from the west and hit the helicopter. After the crash, people got their weapons to shoot the U.S. soldiers, but they were stopped. Everybody here hates the U.S. Since April, at least 40 civilians and police have been killed in and around Fallujah, as well as 22 U.S. soldiers, two of them yesterday in a bomb attack west of the city. It is a cycle that does not look like it will end well. They do not understand psychology, said Dr. Adrian Chechan, a surgeon at Fallujah's main hospital. When you are violent, you get a violent reaction. Last week, he pointed out, six people were killed 500 yards from the hospital as they drove past a U.S. convoy shortly after a roadside bomb exploded. Television footage from inside one of the minivans carrying employees of the oil ministry was too gruesome to be broadcast. Adrian was sitting under posters that read, Free Dr. Omar Abdul Sattar. He said that the former head of the provincial healthcare system had been arrested for operating on members of the resistance 6 weeks ago and was still in jail. People in Fallujah have been particularly critical of the 82nd Airborne, which has been given responsibility for occupying the area in order to crack down on the insurgents. Previously, I had a good view of the American people, said Adrian, but we have changed our mind after seeing the aggression. The soldiers in Fallujah and Khadija are very aggressive. The people here do not do these attacks for no reason. If someone in their clan has been killed, they will take revenge. In the area around Fallujah, the U.S. Army appears to be winning hearts and minds for their enemy. The American Army is our best friend, a resistance fighter told us. We should be giving them medals. And I have several more stories here, but I think that I'm going to have to roll. Private Jessica says the president is misusing her heroism. This is about the Jessica Lynch deal, which some of you already know about. From occupation to guerrilla war, a new kind of dancing in Iraq. Interesting story from the Counterpunch website from yesterday or the day before. And boy, I've got boku stories from Iraq. I go a lot to the London Observer website and to the Counterpunch website for my stuff. I hope you all show up on Tuesday at 4:30 to demand the U.S. get out of Iraq and to demand the city council pass a resolution, by the way, that the U.S. get out of Iraq. That one's been in cold storage for, 6 months now because Kennedy and Porter decided to do nothing and Riley decided to do nothing. I know some people feel that it's not appropriate for a city council to pass national resolutions, and I am skeptical of people who've got all kinds of blather to say about national issues but don't do shit when it comes to the same thing in their own backyard. But this is affecting our backyard. I think it needs to be supported. I think that it has to do with getting these gutless Democratic candidates in line, like Dean and the others, who don't call for the U.S. getting out of Iraq and who should be calling for it. If you want to check it out with Kucinich, he should be down. Right now he's up at UCSC in College 9. You want to go up there and talk to him, ask him what's going on. He's one of the few who does say U.S. out of Iraq. And all he needs supposed to do is say U.S. City Council out of your, Santa Cruz City Council out of your campsite. That would be nice, out of the lives of homeless people, so that homeless people can try to survive in city after city across this country, where he could support legislation that would withdraw aid from cities if they have laws that criminalize poor people. That's something he can support. Very simple. Let him come up, stand up, and speak out and support that. You can talk to him about that at 4 o'clock if you want, if you can get into the Rio Theater. I think it costs money to get in. Who knows? Maybe you can parlay your way into the theater. In any case, I think my time is pretty much up here, and I want to thank the next talk show host. I'm not sure if she's a talk show host or she's just going to be doing some musicking here, but she's been very patient waiting for me to kind of finish up, and I'm a bit over time here. I thank you all for listening to me today. And again, you want to be a part of the struggle in Santa Cruz, you can, and we need you. So I know everyone's doing their own thing, everyone's busy, everyone's working on issues that are important to them, and that I recognize. I think we need more coordination between the different struggles, if you want. We need more information being exchanged, and I need more volunteers. So give a call to 423-HUFF. Help out. Come to the HUFF meeting. That's Wednesday, 8:30 in the morning at Baker Square. If you can't come to meetings but you want to help out, still call the HUFF line, 423-HUFF. And if you have something to report, report it there as well, and post an article on Indie Media. I didn't know diddly squat about the Food Not Bombs arrest until a week after it happened because nobody said anything about it. So do speak up about harassment when it happens. That's the only way we can tell what is going on. And that, I think, is that. I'm going to roll out on a little more of Zoot Suit. So thanks for being with me, and Thursday, 6 o'clock, come on back.
The ball, get your back against the wall, let the rhythm of it flow.
Whoa, gag me with a spoon. This was an operational tape. Well, as you can hear, it's a great tape. The few seconds you heard of it, that's Zoot Suit. You can get the movie. I recommend you watch it. It's a fine film. In any case, let's try instead something from our old pals. How about David Rovick? He's always good for a dashing standby.
And the billowing smoke. I saw the glass, metal, paper, and stone. Everything shattered and broke. I was there with my people, Engine Company 24. We marched into the building, got as far as the 35th floor. Black smoke and the heat was like nothing I'd seen in all of my years. With each step in that burning inferno, you could feel destiny near. Amidst all of the falling girders, the sheetrock and God knows what else, I tried to find the survivors, those who made it to the stairwells. I carried the wounded to safety, if that's what you might call the street. With bodies and boulders and metal all crashing down at your feet. As number two was collapsing, when only 10 floors still stood, everything was falling around me like it was made out of cardboard and wood. That's when I heard someone trapped underneath the debris. I started pulling at something, and that's when the fire got me. I was pinned beneath the rubble. The flames were licking my coat. The pain, the unbearable agony. And then that was all that she wrote. But I just wish I could tell you before I am taken away. I've seen a lot of this world, and there's something that I gotta say. I don't believe in politics. I believe in the human race. I believe in the goodness of people in New York or some faraway place. I believe in my daughter, and I believe in my wife. And may nobody's father be taken to avenge the loss of my life. Some people may call me a brave man, and this may very well be, but the firefighters of Kabul are just as brave men as me.
Strange time to be a leftist folk singer in America. I mean, in this time of people mourning the deaths of thousands of innocent people in New York and Washington. The thing is that I think it's true for many of us here. We've been mourning the deaths of people for a long time. And those who ask why such a horrible thing would happen haven't been to Iraq. From Guatemala to Korea, to the tunnels beneath Hanoi, from Tulsa to El Chorizo, fat man to little boy. We fought them in Nicaragua and upon the Cuban shore. Killed Gaddafi's daughter, see what the fatwa's got in store. We're gonna bomb our way to freedom with the cruise missiles of justice and the spent shells of democracy. Oh, say, can you see? From Kabul to Khartoum, where Allah's martyrs bled, to the Iraqi desert, 200,000 people dead. We're gonna bomb our way to freedom with the cruise missiles of justice and the spent shells of democracy. Oh, say, can you see? School of the Assassins to Argentina's dirty war. From Arizona to Nevada, we'll nuke our way to heaven's door. We're gonna bomb our way to freedom with the cruise missiles of justice and the spent shells of democracy. All say, can you see? We're gonna bomb our way to freedom with the cruise missiles of justice and the spent shells of democracy. All say, can you see? Give me a T.
T.
Give me an R.
R.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me an N.
N.
What's that spell?
Treason.
What's that spell?
Treason.
One more time.
Treason.
You're all going to get arrested. My name is John Riley. I'll have your ear only a while. I left my dear home in Ireland. It was death, starvation, or exile. When I got to America, it was my duty to go. Enter the army and slog across Texas to join in the war against Mexico. And it was there in the pueblos and hillsides that I saw the mistake I had made. Part of a conquering army with the morals of a bayonet blade. And there amidst all these poor dying Catholics, screaming children, the burning stench of it all, myself and 200 Irishmen decided to rise to the call. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. We marched neath the green flag of St. Patrick, emblazoned with Erin Gobra, bright with the harp and the shamrock and Libertad para Mexicana. Just 50 years after Wolf Tone, 5,000 miles away, the Yanks called us a legion of strangers, and they can talk as they may. But from Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. We fought them in Matamoros, where their volunteers were raping the nuns. In Monterey and Cerro Gordo, we fought on as Ireland's sons. We were the red-headed fighters for freedom amidst these brown-skinned women and men. Side by side we fought against tyranny, and I dare say we'd do it again. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. Five major battles. Churubusco was the last. Overwhelmed by the cannons from Boston, we fell after each mortar blast. Most of us died on that hillside in the service of the Mexican state. so far from our occupied homeland. We were heroes and victims of fate. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side.
You're tuned to 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz. That was a few songs from a CD by David Rovix called Living in These Times. And he actually has a newer CD called Return, and it's a good CD, great CD. Anyway, wanted to mention a couple of things. At 4 o'clock today at the Rio Theater, Dennis Kucinich will be speaking. It's $10 to $25. I'm sorry, it's $10 or $10 for general admission, or $15 for preferred seating. And this is at the Rio Theater, which is 1205 SoCal Avenue. And you probably know who Dennis Kucinich is, but if you don't, he's a presidential candidate. He's chair of the Progressive Caucus of the U.S. Congress. He's a Democrat, introduced a bill to create a Department of Peace. He's against the Patriot Act, stands for bringing jobs back to America by canceling NAFTA and the WTO. And he's speaking at 4 p.m. at the Rio Theater, 1205 SoCal Avenue today, Sunday, November 9th. $10 for general admission or $15 for preferred seating. And that he'll be introduced at the 4 o'clock talk by author John Robbins. He wrote Diet for a New America, as well as some other books. And let's see, at 7 p.m., Dennis will be speaking again. This is a more expensive event. It's $25 and $40. $25, I guess, for general admission, and then $40, which includes a pre-event reception at 6:30. This is going to be a gala fundraiser with Michelle Schacht and special guests. This is a fundraiser for Dennis Kucinich's campaign, if you didn't figure that out. Tickets are available at the Santa Cruz Civic or at Streetlight Records or going to riotheater.com. But my guess is at this point, you'd probably just want to go to the door. And that's that, I guess, part of what Kucinich has promised to deliver to America if elected is universal health care with a single-payer plan, full Social Security benefits at age 65, withdrawal from NAFTA and the WTO, repeal of the Patriot Act, protect the right to choose, privacy and civil rights, work for balance between workers and corporations, guarantee quality education, present a renewed commitment to peace and diplomacy, restore rural communities and family farms, promote environmental renewal and clean energy. So if you're interested, Dennis Kucinich again will be speaking today at 4 p.m. and at 7 p.m. The less expensive show or talk is at 4 p.m. at the Rio Theater, 1205 SoCal Avenue. And this would be a good time if you're thinking about Kucinich, possibly, if you're thinking about possibly voting for him, to go and ask him some questions, find out how I don't know his position on the death penalty, for example. I'd be interested to know that. So anyway, good opportunity if you want to ask him some questions. So you're tuned to 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz, or maybe 101.1 if you're listening on the east side. Actually, you could listen to 101.1 down in town as well. I just keep my radio tuned to 101.1 lately because I can get it all over town that way. And I want to mention quickly what I have coming up at 3 o'clock. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot planned. I'm hoping to have a guest from Vets Helping Vets at 3 o'clock who will be talking about a benefit happening on Veterans Day for the group Vets Helping Vets, and just promoting that benefit and talking about what the group Vets Helping Vets does. And I had tried to set up some other interviews, but they didn't pan out. I did do an interview with Professor Francis Boyle. He's a law professor from the University of Illinois. I did that on Friday morning, and I'll probably rebroadcast that. And I don't know what else I'm going to do. I'll play some music and maybe take calls. That's coming up from 3 to 6 on my show, Cut Your Hair and Get a Fucking Job. And right now, for the next hour and a half, we'll be hearing some music. So why don't we get into that now?
Oh,